Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question today, how should we live? That is, with what we see taking place, with the declension in the morals and the ethics and the values, with the potentiality of a Joe Biden presidency. How should we live? What should we do? How should we respond? Should we just fold up our tent and go home, as the little boy says, or pick up our marbles and go home and get out of the game? I say absolutely no. The Lord Jesus himself in Matthew, the 5th chapter, said, and it's in the imperative voice in the Greek text, which means it's command, that we are the salt of the world. We're the light of the world. We're the salt of the earth. And if the salt had lost its savor, Jesus says, it has no value but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. Ladies and gentlemen, for salt to be valuable and have any efficacy at all, it needs to come out of the shaker. So if we're salt, we need to get out of the shaker. We need to get out from under the bed and out of the closet and recognize that we need to take a stand. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, if Biden is elected, what should we do? How should we respond? And we're looking at, first and foremost, what kind of president he would be and what would change in America as a result of it. We just stated that the moral compass will be totally destroyed. He will input the LGBTQ sodomite agenda first thing. He's already said it would be his first choice, first thing. And when he was talking with a group of sodomites in 2019 in his low-profile election process, he said that those that object to it, speaking of Christians, are simply the dregs of society. The dregs of society. It's bad enough for Hillary Clinton to call us the basket full of deplorables. It's bad enough for Barack Hussein Obama to talk about Christians as being those that want to cling onto their guns and their Bible and their religion. And here is Joe Biden, the wannabe president. They're calling him now the president-elect. There's no such thing as president-elect. There's no office of president-elect. There's no such thing as a seal for the office of president-elect. But he's called us dregs of society. And ladies and gentlemen, he has no sense of morality, ethics, and values, regardless of his saying that he goes to church every Sunday. That was what part of his campaign organization just said this past week, that because he has twisted his ankle, fractured some part of the ankle, that, quote, he didn't go to church as he normally does every Sunday, reporter stated. That's a joke. Ladies and gentlemen, with the Biden administration, we'll see murder by way of abortion escalate exponentially. We need to understand the dangers of it. In fact, Joe Biden will absolutely remove any restrictions on that which would be called transsexual, homosexual, all of the perversions in the sexual realm. One of the justices of the Supreme Court, Alito, he has an article that says Alito raises religious liberty concern about COVID restrictions and same-sex marriage ruling. Justice Samuel Alito said Thursday night, that he worried about the future of religious liberty in the United States of America, expressing particular concern as it applies to COVID restrictions and the Supreme Court's decision 2015 clearing the way for same-sex marriage. Quote, "It pains me to say this," Alito said, "but in certain quarters, religious liberty is fast becoming a disfavored right." Further, he says, instead, he took on the restrictions of in-person worship service during the pandemic, an issue that is currently before the court, as well as the Obergefell versus Hodges, the opinion that created the way for same-sex marriage. He goes into great detail. He says, Alito then says that COVID crisis has served as a sort of constitutional stress test that has highlighted the disturbing trends that were present before the virus appeared, but it's exacerbated. What Alito is saying is we're watching the left, the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist Democratic Party, including Joe Biden, and the future of his administration, demeaning and disregarding anything that will be called religious liberties and religious freedoms. The Joe Biden administration already talking about ways to reduce the number of Christian colleges. In fact, I find it sad that even some of the governors are in the process of doing that. Here's an article that says, First Liberty Institute, Kentucky Attorney General asked court to stop the governor's orders closing faith-based schools. With restrictions and lockdowns being reinstated across the country, it's becoming increasingly clear that the battle for religious freedom during this pandemic is far from over. Last week, First Liberty Institute and Kentucky Attorney General Daniel Cameron filed for a temporary restraining order against Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear, seeking to block his orders prohibiting private schools, including religious schools, from holding in-person classes after Thanksgiving. First Liberty represents Danville Christian Academy in Danville, Kentucky, in the lawsuit, which was filed in the United States District Court, Eastern District of Kentucky. And it goes on to talk about Governor Beshear's executive order prohibits all public and private schools, including Christian schools, from meeting beginning November the 23rd and contained no accommodation for religious education. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go on and on and on about what Biden's administration will do. There is a move, and I read an article just this morning, online news, where the Joe Biden handlers are now suggesting that the Biden administration tighten the restrictions and place greater restrictions on religious colleges and religious universities so that they will not be able to get any authorization out of the U.S. Department of Education for post-secondary education in the religious colleges and universities to make it more and more difficult for them to become accredited universities and colleges. Now, that's already tipping their hand as to where they're going with religious liberties and what they're planning on doing. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll lose our Bill of Rights under a Biden administration, especially our religious liberties and our religious freedoms. Here's an article that says SCOTUS, that's the Supreme Court of the United States, rules in favor of New York houses of worship, blocks restrictions on religious gatherings. Suffice it to say, and it's a pretty large article, I'll pluck out a couple of places that I believe are pertinent. Early this week, U.S. Supreme Court issued a 5-4 decision granting an emergency injunction against New York Governor Andrew Cuomo for his unconstitutional orders against churches and synagogues. This is an important victory for religious freedom amidst the current pandemic, as the court's ruling blocked the governor from enforcing cluster action initiatives, including a set of severe restrictions against all houses of worship in New York. The decision comes only a couple of weeks after the Justice Alito's speech in the Federalist Society, where he delivered a stern warning about state and local government, and they have issued pandemic restrictions. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is we're watching today a precursor of the full-fledged attack, the persecution and prosecution of Christians, Christian churches, Christian pastors, and religious liberties in America if Joe Biden becomes the president. We need to be in prayer, serious prayer, for our nation, for the future of America, if we continue the direction we're going in. We need to pray that God will open the eyes of those, as our previous caller said, those that need to come forth and be whistleblowers. We need to pray that God will open the eyes of those that are part of the absolute deceit and fraud and the coup that's been attempted to overthrow and elected president, Donald J. Trump. The article that I'm looking at says, Alito warns religious liberty is in danger becoming a second-class right. The pandemic, he said, has resulted in previously unimaginable restrictions on individual liberty. Even though Alito said he was not diminishing the severity of the virus threat, but he is talking about the threat to our religious liberties. I believe we have Lily on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes. Thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. I am just along with you in thinking that we're looking at grave times based on what is happening, Biden getting ready to be in charge. Because we believe as that God raised up Donald Trump, and under very hard, rough conditions with harassment from the very beginning, he was able to do what God wanted him to do. It is beyond normal functioning that he was able to perform and accomplish the things that he did for this country. As one who I love, somebody who loves and cares for his country, and you can't bear to think of what they will be doing if they get charged with undoing all that God enabled him to do.
And Lily, you're exactly right. In fact, I'm looking at an article. Lily, you talking about what Trump has done and he's accomplished. Yes. Looking at an article that says Bin Laden's niece, President Trump is the man of the hour. Who can defend Western values and freedom? The niece of Osama bin Laden, Noor, that's N-O-O-R, bin Laden, said that President Trump, Donald Trump, is the man of the hour. He's the one that can lead the people right in the right direction in this critical moment. She further says, we really are at a critical moment in time. It's the tipping point, and Western civilization hangs in the balance. As for me, she's stating, President Donald J. Trump is the man of the hour that can keep us on the right direction toward preserving our Western values and our Western ideals and our way of life and all of our freedoms. Goes further in the article. Since 1967, it's just been a conflict after conflict and bloodshed after bloodshed. And President Trump comes in and he's able to bring all these people together at the table to strike a peace agreement in the Middle East. Noor said, that's the niece of bin Laden, praising President Trump's Middle East achievements and saying that he is the one that needs to be in office to defend Western civilization and the values in America. And I think that you're exactly right, and that's what she's saying. Lily, would you take a moment, and then I'll invite the others that will call in. Take about a minute, 2 minutes, and pray for our nation, pray for our president, and ask God to intervene.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Yes, so we real time is, but it's wonderful to think that his niece, where is she living, in America?
She's in America. She's an American citizen.
Praise God. Praise God for her speaking out. Thank God. Well, I just read a verse here and from Isaiah 25. O Lord, thou art my God, I will exalt you. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast made a city and heap and other things like that. Yes, he said, he will swallow up death in victory. So many things Isaiah was saying that he would do. He will swallow up death in victory, down verse 8. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off their faces, and the rebuke of the people shall he take away from off the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. Praise God. Loving God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We adore you. We magnify you, King of kings and Lord of lords. We adore you, Lord. Praise God. We thank you that you are in charge. Oh, hallelujah. You are on the throne, and you rule in the affairs of men. praise God. We're glad you have the final word. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We are here to exalt you today. We are here to lift you up, Lord. We are here to magnify you, praise God, because our eyes are on you. We do not have the answer to what's going on. Oh God, it's beyond us. But you are viewing, you are taking account of everything. You are viewing the evil and the good, praise God. We thank you, Lord. And oh God, we are depending on you, Lord Jesus. Our eyes are on you, to undo the evil, undo, oh God. We know you are a God, oh God, who delight in bringing down your enemies, Lord, those who dare to exalt themselves against you. So, Lord, we thank you. We glorify you. We honor and magnify you today. We are praying for our leaders, Lord, especially our president. Oh, God, yes, sir, we must pray for those in our authority. We're bringing them before you today, Lord, as they are faced with battle after battle, Lord, and the problem, you are beholding it, Lord. Oh, God, we are bringing everything before you, and we are depending on you, Lord. We saw your hand in the Supreme Court. We saw your hand, oh, God. We saw when you moved, Lord Jesus, to equip the Supreme Court. So we know you are paying attention. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We love you, Lord. We love and adore you. And we're asking everything in the name of our precious Redeemer, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is at your right hand in glory. Hallelujah. Making intercession for us. Praise God. Bless the Lord. Praise him. Praise Amen. God. Hallelujah.
Bless Amen. Lily, thank you so much for that wonderful prayer. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you would like to join in praying today for our nation, for our president, for a victory in this election before it is too late. The number is 831-0917. I believe we have Brother Davis on the line. Go ahead with the question and the comment.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. We are just going to pray, you know, on behalf of our president right
Amen.
Now
Thank
and
you.
The nation, because it is really praying time. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So thank you.
Let us pray. Amen. Heavenly
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now on behalf of our president and our nation. Father, in the name of Jesus, there's a catastrophe going on. But, oh, my God, we know that you are not a God of confusion right now in Jesus' name. We ask you, Lord God, work out a miracle right now in Jesus' name. Let truth and justice prevail on behalf of our president and his people in Jesus' name. Father, we need you right now in this very hour, Lord God, to work it out for us in the name of Jesus and snatch the cover off the evildoers, Lord God. Let them be exposed for who they are in the name of Jesus. Oh, my God, we ask you, Lord God, unstop deaf ears, open up blinded eyes, open up hearts and minds, and give us joy right now, joy unspeakable, full of glory. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. And, God, if we do these things for us, we tell you thank you right now, and we'll glorify your name the more. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Davis, for that great prayer. And, ladies and gentlemen, you can join in praying for our nation, praying for this election, praying for our president that God will give victory and that God will protect him. You can do that by dialing 831-0917, 831-0917. I'm prone to remember and look at the verse in Nehemiah the fourth chapter, where Nehemiah says, "Our God shall fight for us." That ought to be our position, ladies and gentlemen. In recognizing this is a battle, it is spiritual warfare, and in that warfare and in that battle, we need to know that our God will fight for us. Nehemiah said that. Throughout the book of Nehemiah, you find that he was a praying man. Something would take place, something happened, he'd basically, as they were attacking and criticizing and castigating and trying to carry out a conspiracy against the work that he was doing and rebuilding the wall, he just basically said, and I'll paraphrase it, he said, "Lord, you see what they're doing. You see what they're saying. Lord, you handle it." And that is very simplistic but very real as to what Nehemiah would do. And we are in that battle. I'm looking at a statement here that says, "Psychological warfare is being waged upon us, but most have no idea that they're even in or on the battlefield." We're in a battle. You heard me say before, and I'll say again, many Christians will sing the song, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before," and not even recognize that we are in hand-to-hand combat. We are in the battle And the battle is for the lives of multiplied millions that will be murdered by way of abortion if Joe Biden goes in office. It is a battle for the morals and ethics and the biblical foundation of our nation. It was Dr. Adrian Rogers many years ago. He's with the Lord now. Dr. Rogers is pastor of the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee for about, I think it's about 50 years. But Dr. Rogers said on one occasion, "It's dark, but it's gloriously dark, for Jesus is coming soon." And so, ladies and gentlemen, I can paraphrase his words. We're living in a dark day, but it's a darkness just before the light, because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. And when we're suddenly seized and snatched out of this old world, the Antichrist will step on the scene. And for 7 years, will rule and reign with an iron fist. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that if Joe Biden goes in office, it is the precursor to the Antichrist stepping on the scene. It's setting the stage for the 7 years of tribulation that shall take place. We're finding a major battle for the soul of our nation. And that battle is in the form of Joe Biden and the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party that wants to rule America and destroy the two-party system and destroy anything that's called morals and ethics and values. I'm looking at an article here. It says, synagogue that held maskless wedding fined $15,000. A New York City synagogue has been reportedly held a large maskless, that is going without a mask, ladies and gentlemen, wedding that defied Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo and his recent coronavirus orders. He has ordered the synagogue to be fined $15,000. He says they're going to be summoned for $15,000 immediately at that location, and there could be additional consequences quite soon and very well. That's just not acceptable for them to do so. I believe he hates Christians. I believe he hates the Jewish people. I believe that as a result of that, it is showing his open hand. And that's exactly what the Biden administration would continue to do. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says, Biden would transition your very life and the very standard of living that we have in America. It says, Joe Biden is no moderate. He admitted as much as at the final presidential debate when he said that he would transition America away from oil. Many don't realize just how radical that statement really is. When Biden says that the U.S. will get rid of fossil fuel, many believe that it is both a worthy goal and achievable one, but it's neither, this article says. And it goes on to talk about the devastation of America and the condition we would be in. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that's taking place is what they're calling the global reset, the great reset. Perhaps you've asked the question, what do they mean when they talk about the reset? It's talking about the reset of values. It's talking about the reset of morals and ethics. It's talking about a great reset on changing the way we carry out America. It is changing it from the constitutional republic to a simple majority rule, that is democracy. This article says, John Kerry, Biden's presidency opens the doors for a global reset. The notion of a reset is more important than ever, Kerry said in the World Economic Forum. I personally believe we're on the very dawn, that's D-A-W-N, of an extremely exciting time with a global reset. Ladies and gentlemen, they're saying what they're going to do, just as President Barack Hussein Obama said that he would fundamentally change America. And he set the Obama's administration for 8 years was a process of sowing the seed for what we see now being blossoming and blooming and bringing forth fruit of the great overthrow of the United States of America. It is absolutely major, 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 and we must pray. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to call in and publicly pray for our president, praying for America, praying for our nation, praying for this election, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Here's an article that says Democratic senators introduce national mask legislation. Two Senate Democrats have authored legislation that would force every American to wear a mask or other face coverings at all times. Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts and Richard Blumenthal of Connecticut are pushing a bill calling for the nationwide mask mandate. The Democratic lawmakers joined presumptive Joe Biden-elect in calling for such a mandate. And it goes on to talk about this is the first step in enacting a bill toward forcing all Americans to comply with wearing a mask. And ladies and gentlemen, it'll soon be the time when there will be, if Biden is in office, there will be the forced vaccination requirement, where you and I will be forced to take a vaccination. And yet, many are not being warned of the grave dangers of these vaccinations. About three or four of the pharmaceuticals now that have come out with the vaccination, it's on being shipped now to all parts of the nation to be dismissed and start with the injections within the next week to 10 days where the vaccination will start. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says doctors say the Center for Disease Control should warn all people of the grave side effects from COVID vaccine, the shots that will not be a walk in the park. And it goes on to talk about the dangers of the vaccine. The CDC must be transparent about the side effects that people may experience after getting the first shot of the coronavirus vaccine. Doctors urged during a meeting Monday with the CDC advisors. And it goes on to talk about what is taking place and the major, 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 major side effects of those that have gone through the test for the COVID vaccine to be introduced now to the nation and to the world. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, what we need to do, we're talking about how should we live. We need to live in faith. We need to live in expectancy. We need to live a life of hope. We need to live in faith and not fear, because God is in charge. We need to pray and seek God's face and ask God to heal our land. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, I'll read this, ladies and gentlemen, before we close. If my people, which you call by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Ladies and gentlemen, our land needs healing as never before in the history of our great nation. And we need to, ladies and gentlemen, realize that we can't put our trust in man. Our trust must be placed in the sovereign God of the universe. The scripture says in Psalms 146, verse 3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. Ladies and gentlemen, our help comes from God. Our hope is in God and God alone. And the only way that we're going to have that relief, ladies and gentlemen, is to place our hope and our trust and our faith in God himself and recognize that he is the one that can turn things around. Pray and ask God to heal America. Pray and ask God to protect our president. Pray and ask God to give us victory, that President Donald J. Trump will be sworn in January the 20th of 2021. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.